Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it is my pleasure to be with you. And it is a special day in the life of the church, and not just because the decorations are up. Thank you to everyone who did that. It's a special day because I get to break out my blazer that gets to be broken out for one day a year after one game a year. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. This was actually a find from the rummage sale, if I'm being honest. And I'm most glad my kids found it. But it is good to be with you. Good to be worshiping together in the Lord's house today. I have a couple of quick things to share with you. If I'm being honest, I have more than a couple, so let me just share these quickly. First, if you've grabbed a sharing tree tag for helping out with Samaritan House, those tags are due back by December 3rd, so that would be next Sunday. We need those brought back, those wrapped presents with your tag attached. I didn't glance this morning. There were a few left down there. If you haven't gotten one and you want to grab one and bring something in by next week, we'd appreciate that. But that's December 3rd. Those are due. The women's tea is scheduled for December 1st. They still have some room at the tables if you're interested in joining some of the ladies of the church for their Christmas tea. This has been going on for a long, long time. It's a tradition, and they have a great day together. That's December 1st, and there's sign-ups down in the fellowship hall. The United Women of Faith have their meeting on Saturday, December 9th at 11 o'clock. They're going to have a speaker here from Turning Point who's coming, and they're suggesting ladies bring a gift for the women at the shelter to that meeting, that you can bring something that can be taken back to Turning Point for the women who are currently living there. There's also some information about a women's group trip to the DIA, about an upcoming Yaha Christmas party, about our Christmas dinner we're going to be serving, and about our New Year's party we're going to be having. All those signups are downstairs on the boards. If you're interested in any of those events, I'd encourage you to stop and have a look on your way out today to sign up and join us for those. And one last thing, on your way in, there's these green little slips are the poinsettia order forms for this year. If you'd like to order a poinsettia that will be used in the sanctuary during Christmas worship here, and then you're also, of course, welcome to take those home afterwards. Those signups are down there. They're asking for them to be in by next week as well, December 3rd. So if you want to get those in. So those were my things to talk about. And I have a couple others who are going to share with us. First, I'm going to invite Tom to step forward here as he has something to share.
Good morning. I'm talking on behalf of the stewardship committee today, it being Consecration Sunday. You've all hopefully gotten your pledge cards, and the box to put them in is right there. So, you know, about 5-6 months ago, Jim Welser and I spoke about the needs of this church. This is not the occasion to do that. This is the occasion to consider how to become closer to God, how to help the church in its missions. And so if you haven't already completed your card, I would ask you to prayerfully consider contributing. We have cards at the front of the church and the back of the church. And you know, I thank you for your continued support for the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to all of our finance committee, Jim and Tom, as well as the others who are a part of that, who keep an eye on the books for us, keep an eye on the numbers, and thank you to all who have brought those in. We're going to offer a prayer of dedication for those cards a little later in service. And then next, we have a video we're going to show that's from the Society of St. Andrews, and then Dave's going to share with us a little bit. So can we go ahead and play that?
The USDA states that over 130 billion pounds of food goes to waste in this country every year. We know that more than 40 million Americans are at risk of going hungry. The Society of St. Andrew, the nation's premier gleaning organization, is committed to minimizing food waste at local farms and providing the healthy food to hungry people. It just makes sense. It's fresh, it's nutritious, it's just not pretty enough for market. The Society of St. Andrew saves 32 to 35 million pounds of this food each year at a cost of only 2 cents per serving. You can be part of this solution. Pray for the hungry. Volunteer to glean in the fields. Donate to the Society of St. Andrew, where every dollar results in 50 servings of food. Contact us and make a difference in the lives of hungry neighbors who need your help.
So this is a program that the United Methodist Men put on. Who will you feed during this holiday season? Join with hundreds of congregations across the country in a daily spiritual discipline this Advent, using scripture readings, devotional reflections, and prayers that will help you focus on what is truly important in the weeks leading up to Christmas. So if you didn't receive it, this is the booklet. It's at the back of the church here, or we can have it elsewhere. Commit to give generously as you are able to the Society for St. Andrews, a nationwide faith-based nonprofit focused on providing healthy food to our hungriest brothers and sisters. So inside each booklet is an envelope. Please fill this out and make the checks payable to Society for St. Andrews, and we will send them on. The United Methodist Men have committed to matching up to $500 for this year. So take this Advent book home for your use this Advent season. The program begins next Sunday on the 3rd, the first Sunday of Advent, and continues right on through Christmas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you to our United Methodist Men's group for their continued leadership in this. They've done this for as long as I've been here. This has been a part of their mission, and I think well before that. So I thank you to them for this, and if you have any questions, you can, of course, stop by the office or ask, and we will have these available throughout Advent. If you have one you want to take for a friend or a neighbor, we have lots of copies. Please feel free to take one. We want to be able to share this message, this Advent season, the devotions that are contained in here. They offer great insights. They offer a great chance to spend time in the Word each day of Advent. So we do say thank you to our men's group for their support of that. And those were the announcements that I had, the things that needed to be shared. So I'm going to invite you all now to stand with me as you're able as we're going to sing our opening hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 100, God Whose Love Is Reigning O'er Us. Would you please stand with me as we sing together hymn 100? I invite you now to join me in our opening responsive prayer. The words will be on the screen. Come, let us give thanks to God. Come, let us give thanks to God.
We give thanks for all the time God has made a way out of no way, providing for us in body and spirit just when we need it.
Come, let us give thanks to God.
We give thanks for the ways God leads us together as a community of love and care, supporting one another in the ebbs and flows of daily life.
Let us come into God's presence with grateful praise. Come, let us worship God together. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is coming to us from Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 25. We'll hear verses 31 through 46, subtitled The Judgment of the Nations. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And this ends our first reading for today. And this time I'm pleased to welcome, we have a special group who's going to be singing for us this morning. We have our men's small group from our choir that's going to be singing for us. They're going to be singing, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. At this time, I'd like to welcome any of the children or youth, the students that are with us, to come forward for our time with children. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing this morning? Good? Good? Not great? Not amazing? Not awesome? Come on, I know you guys watched a football game yesterday. It's got to be a great day, right? So the funny thing is, my first church, I was much closer to the border. Actually, I was right on the border with the state of Ohio. And there was a lot more separation in my church on this Sunday. There weren't nearly as many people who were as happy as I've run into today. And it was a good day yesterday, right? It was fun. I got to sit and watch a football game with my family, which is something I enjoy doing, with my dad actually as well. And it was a fun day. And it's a little more fun when there's a victory, right? We get to celebrate that. We got to chant "Go Blue" with the neighbors because they were wearing those other colors. So it was a fun time. It was a good day. But you know, it made me stop and think for a minute. I'm glad I got to wear my new jacket. I'm glad I got to wear it here to church today. And my tie, you're right, my Michigan tie. I didn't think I could wear them if we'd lost. I thought that might be a little... But it was fun. I had a great time watching the game, partially because we won. But then it made me think, too. Sometimes we let things like a sporting event, a game that's being played on the field, it can be a reason that we start saying mean things about other people, about people who cheer for a team that's different than the team we cheer for, or we say really hurtful things. And sometimes when I see those things, it just makes me kind of stop and shake my head because I like a good football game as much as anyone. Don't get me wrong. But is it really worth saying mean things about someone about a football game? Does that make sense? It just doesn't make sense in my head, does it? No, I'm glad to see you guys shaking your head no. And that was just kind of a reminder to me that there's going to be people that I disagree with about watching the football team, which team to cheer for. But there's going to be people I disagree with about other things too, about all kinds of different things. And that's not a reason that I should hate them or say bad things about them, is it? Just because I don't agree with them on all things? No. We can think different things. We can like different things. I mean, right now, if I said, whose favorite dessert on Thanksgiving was pumpkin pie, would everyone raise their hand? No, maybe. Maybe your favorite was butterscotch pie like my mom made. Or maybe you have another favorite dessert that's made, apple pie or something else. I'm not going to hate you because you don't like pumpkin pie, which is my favorite. That's just silly, isn't it? And I think sometimes we let silly little things get in the way and we treat each other bad or say mean things or hurtful things. And I just want to remind us that there's no reason that we need to act that way with one another, do we? We can be kind. We can be loving. I love every one of my Ohio State friends out there. I don't know if any are out there, if they're keeping quiet today. Okay, that's right. I do. I knew of one back there. I love you still, Kim. You know that. And I'll love you next year if you beat us too, I promise. But it's just not a reason, is it? It's not worth something to get so worked up over. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we make it a line in the sand. I can't like that person. They don't agree with me. They don't think like me. They don't do what I want them to do. That's just not a good reason to be that way. So I want to encourage you guys that, you know, even if you don't agree with something a friend does or a sibling does or even something that your parents say to you, you don't have to hate them, right? We don't want to hate people. God tells us the opposite. God tells us to love people. God tells us to love one another. And even when we have those disagreements, we can still share love between each other. So that's my encouragement for you guys today, all right? That we can continue to share love, that we can continue to be friends, no matter what, all right? Can you guys do that? Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going to say a word of prayer for you. I know they have some fun planned for you back there in Odyssey, so I'll say a prayer and you guys can head back with them, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do give you thanks for this day. I give you thanks for a time to gather, a time to be together in your house, a time to love, to celebrate the love you have for us and the love we have for each other. And God, I hope you help us to remember that we can always share that love, even when we disagree, even when we might not get along fully. We can share love between ourselves because we are called to love one another. We are called to be supportive and encouraging of one another. And I just hope we can continue to do that this day, the days ahead, and all the days that we have. Because God, we know you love us, so let us love like that. For we pray in your Son's holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to head back there to Odyssey, and I'll see you after church, all right? All right, thank you guys. Well, we take this time as well each Sunday. It's an important time. It's time for us to share those joys and concerns we have, the things that have taken place in the past week, the concerns we have for the week ahead. And I have a few to share with us. The first is a joy that I'm glad to get to share. I got an updated number this morning, in fact. Our craft show and rummage sale was just a little over a week ago now. And as of current reporting, we have made over $4,000 from that combined event of the craft show and rummage sale and all the work that went into that. And that is a joy. That is a celebration. That is money that are... Yes, thank you. That is money that our women's group will use to support the missions that they support, including Turning Point, who we just said will be here in the coming weeks. That is an awesome thing. And I was told as well, if you're still looking for some Christmas shopping, they're going to have the craft room open after church. If you go down to fellowship time, they'll have that room open. You can pop in and see if there's anything in there that you might want to purchase. We'll add to that total a little bit if we need to. So that is a joy. I also have a few prayer concerns to share. If you saw on the prayer chain this week, we heard from Larry and Sherlyn back. They both tested positive for COVID. And Sherlyn ended up having to be transported to the hospital. Her oxygen levels just dropped too low. They needed to get her there to be safe. I actually just heard from Larry this morning that they're both doing quite well. They're expecting that Sherlyn will be able to get home here today. They're just trying to make sure that her levels in the evenings when she's sleeping are safe. But they said thank you for all the calls, the messages, the prayers. They appreciated that, and we just continue to keep them in prayer as they recover. I also had a message from Judy Van Hootie asking for a couple of prayer requests. Her sister Joan is going in to have knee replacement surgery on the 28th, so we keep Joan in our prayers for that. And then Judy noted that she too is recovering from a COVID illness, so prayers for Judy as she continues to recover as well. And then the last one that I have on my list, I'm just going to ask for prayers again. We're going to keep praying, but we're going to ask for prayers here this morning. As the Domkeys have their surgery scheduled for the kidney transplant surgery on the 6th, on December 6th, we remember that Steve will be receiving the kidney, and he'll be receiving it from his lovely wife, Nancy. And so we celebrate that match. We are still so thankful for that, but we also keep them both in our prayers as they'll both be going into surgery and the recovery that comes following that. So we keep them in our prayers as they move towards that date. And those were the ones that were provided to me or shared with me ahead of service. If there's anyone else you'd like to share, please feel free to raise a hand. Guy has a microphone. Oh, there's one behind me.
On behalf of Nancy, I just want to praise God and thank all of you for the many of you that have offered to help us out during the time that we're both down and need all those rides to the doctor. You are our church family. We love you and we're thankful for you. And we will see you in maybe 2 or 3 months. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you, Steve. Are there others that would like to share?
I'd just like continued prayers for my mom, Carol Rada. She is battling ALS.
Continued prayers for Carol as she's been battling ALS and the effects on her and the family. We keep you all in our prayers.
Just a quick prayer for my parents as well, who have unfortunately caught the same virus I had last week and are watching from home this morning.
Prayers absolutely for Deanna's parents. It's that time of the year, isn't it? All the bugs are going around, so we keep them in our prayers and all who are dealing with illness this day.
Continued prayers for Beth Eisen.
Continue to keep Beth in our prayers as well as she battles her her illness. Thank you, Nathan.
And I have it a joy. As many of you know, I sing in the Symphonia Chorale music group, and we have a new choir director, and he's doing awesome. And so I missed the announcement. So Sunday, this coming Sunday, is our annual concert here, Christmas concert at 3 o'clock, and I have tickets if you need any. Just see me after church.
Absolutely. That is on the board downstairs. I apologize. Yes. I had it noted that I wanted to share it, but Nathan sung with that group. They've sung here for a number of years in our sanctuary, and that is next Sunday at 3 o'clock is their performance here. And you can talk to Nathan if you want to get a ticket and join for that show. Are there any others that would like to share this morning? All right, well, then I'll encourage us to take this moment. We've heard those that have been lifted, but we've also brought our own concerns, our own joys that we share. And let us take a moment, and we'll lift them before God in silent prayer. Lord, too often we focus on, we talk about how little we have. We don't recognize the abundance that we already have when we share. We allow those resources, those gifts to be wasted instead of valuing and preserving the smallest fragments that the world so often casts aside. We rush about life attempting to do everything on our own instead of being grateful for all the ways we love and support one another. Lord, we know too often we grumble, we complain about all that is going wrong, instead of approaching you with gratitude and trust that you will provide for our needs. Forgive us today, we pray, O Lord. Free us once again to live as your grateful people. We know you are a God of healing, a God of transformation. We hunger and we thirst for your abundant life. We bring to you our sorrow and ask that you give us that bread of joy. We bring our despair and ask for the bread of hope. We bring you our weariness and ask for the bread of inspiration. Meet us here in this place. We know we need your bread to sustain us. We need it to be with us as we journey to find our way to you, that we may be one with you. Remind us of this good news, O God, that your love never fails. The same Christ who commanded his disciples to gather leftover bread and fish so that nothing would be lost, it is not forgotten by us. It is not overlooked by us. You gather us together. You gather us as one. And we offer these prayers with joyful and thankful hearts as we lift our voices as one voice, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand for our next hymn as we sing together. It's number 399, Take My Life and Let It Be. Will you stand as you're able and sing with me hymn number 399? You may please be seated. We do take this time in worship each Sunday for our recognition and celebration of the tithes and offerings brought here, the gifts brought to the church, the monies that make it possible for us to continue to be in mission and ministry, doing all those things that we do as a church. I do offer my thanks for that, and do remind you we do have our offering box on the wall behind the organ if you wish to leave an offering here today. And we do have our online giving at romeoumc.com if you wish to give in that way. But as Tom shared at the beginning of the service, today is also Consecration Sunday, where we take a minute, take a moment to recognize the pledges made, the promise made to continue to support the missions of the church, to support God's work here in our world. And so I'm going to step down. We're going to take those pledge cards and place them on the altar as our promise made to God for the year to come. We're going to offer our prayer. I said it to the Finance Committee, If your card comes in the next week, it's okay if it wasn't in the box for today. We'll take that pledge card in the coming weeks if you haven't had a chance to get it back to us. Please continue to bring them in so the finance committee can continue to monitor and make their adjustments and plans based on the giving that we're expecting for the year to come. But let us take this time to dedicate and make our prayer. We got a cow and the donkey in the way here. Hold on. There we go. All right. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, giver of all that is good, giver of all that is true and beautiful in our lives. These cards, these pledges represent our sweat. They represent our very lives. They represent our hopes and our dreams. And the pledges which we make on them, they're but tokens of the awesome gifts that have already been given to us. And they are pledged in thanksgiving for all that we have received, for all that we have been inspired to be, for all we are challenged to become. May these pledges represent the first fruits of all that we have, not what we have left, so that we may live as closely as possible with you, how you expect us to live. May we see them as our offering to you, sacred, holy, yet earthly, filled with possibilities of the lives that can be touched. May we hold this image in our hearts and minds, so as we watch our offerings each week come to your table, we can see our very selves as a part of this offering. It is us on this table. Let us be living sacrifices to you this day and always. For we pray this in your holy and mighty name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is coming to us from John's Gospel. It's John chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 23. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not be enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not gotten into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. But some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So maybe it's a silly question, but who had a good meal this week? Some hands going up, some heads nodding out there. I hope you did. Maybe it took place on Thanksgiving Day with all the trimmings of the table decked out. Maybe it wasn't quite as good after watching the Lions give that game away. Or maybe you're a leftover fan. I kind of like the leftovers even better, if I'm being honest. You like that Friday meal where everything gets thrown in the oven and heated back up, whatever was left. The turkey sandwich piled on the bread with gravy smothered all over it. Maybe that's your preferred meal. Or maybe you like things a little quieter. Maybe you like the Saturday meal after the hubbub has died down a little bit. Maybe it's just a simple bowl of soup or a pizza ordered in, something easy to do. Maybe that was your favorite meal from this past week. But whatever it was, I hope you enjoyed that meal, you enjoyed that time this week. And I was thinking about the importance of food, the importance it's long had in our social circles, in our social interactions and gatherings. And it's been a long-held tradition here in America, of course, that Thanksgiving meal. But even long before that, for cultures and for peoples throughout history, the gathering for a meal, the fellowship of a shared meal, it's been an important aspect of our humanity. And I don't think it was by chance or any accident that the scripture I had earmarked, that I had noted some months back for this Sunday, that in that scripture we saw one of those gatherings. We saw one of those meals. And it might have looked a little different than any of our Thanksgiving dinners did this past week, but that's what we just read about, wasn't it? We saw a picnic with Jesus and 5,000 of his closest friends. And the unique thing about this picnic, about this meal, this miracle that we just read about, it's that this picnic, this meal, this miracle, it is Jesus' only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's the only event that is recorded across all four of them by the Gospel writers. And that's kind of amazing when you really think about it. When you think about all that the disciples witnessed, all that the others witnessed as Jesus walked the countryside, all the miracles, all the meals that took place, this meal, this picnic specifically, stood out with such significance that all four of the gospel writers thought it needed to be included in their tellings of Jesus' life and ministry. And I can't help but wonder, what was it about this event, this encounter, this specific moment that made all of them want to include it? I mean, as I thought about it, maybe all the gospel writers, maybe they all just really liked food. So it stood out to them. They liked that this picnic had occurred. Or maybe there's just so much going on in these verses that it's hard to narrow it down to one factor, that there's many different reasons they thought it important to include. Because we could start by taking a look at the setting of this meal, where it happened. We're told it happened on a mountain, on the side of a mountain. And that mountain scene, it hints at something important is about to happen. After the contents of the Old Testament, we often see that it's on a mountain that God has encounters with those who serve him, those who love him. We see it repeatedly in the Old Testament. A mountain is where a conversation between the divine and the people takes place. But here we see Jesus kind of turn that on its head a little bit, because here it's not just the voice booming from the clouds on that mountaintop. Here we have Jesus sit down among the people. We truly see that God has come down and is among the people. He's got something important to share with them, something to teach. So he sits down and joins them for a meal. Maybe that's why all the writers thought this picnic was so important. It was a change in the normal interaction between God and God's people. We could also look at how three of the four gospel writers, immediately after this story, immediately after this event, they follow it with another miracle, the walking on water story that we just heard. There must be something important linking these two events together for them to include it that way. And as I thought about it, it could just be that hunger and fear are two very common, two very basic human needs, two things that we identify. They're universal to our human experience. Maybe that's why the gospel writers thought it so important to include these together, that they share them with us. And then I looked and realized that we could even realize that these stories, as they're told, they end with attempts by the people to control Jesus. Failed attempts, of course, but they happened, we're told. They wanted to come and forcefully make him the king. They wanted to tell Jesus what to do. And again, I think that's a reminder to all of us that Jesus doesn't come to us on our terms, not very often. Jesus comes on his terms. Jesus comes with his own expectations for how we'll respond. And there's probably even more we could delve into. I could delve into any one of those subjects and make a sermon out of it. But instead, I kept coming back around to the one thing that's in focus for me, the one thing I want to focus on. It was the meal, this picnic that occurred. And of course, we know it's more than just a meal, more than just a picnic. Because as usual, Jesus is using the opportunity that was presented to him to teach, to share with the people gathered. He wanted to teach his disciples, the gathered crowd. He wanted to teach us all these years later something. And like many of Jesus' lessons, this one began with a simple question. It was right there in verse 5 at the beginning of our reading. Jesus asked, "Where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat?" He gave the question to his disciples. How are we going to handle this situation? What do we do? He might as well have said, "Pop quiz, Philip, this one's yours. What's the answer to the question?" Like most good pop quizzes, it caught Philip off guard. He didn't know how to respond. And perhaps, maybe even, he didn't hear the question originally. Because Jesus asked, "Where are we going to get this food? Where are we going to buy? How are we going to do this?" But the only question that Philip heard was, "How much is it going to cost?" That was Philip's concern. He responds with how much money it would take to feed this crowd. More money than we could ever have possibly hoped to make in a year. How could we dream of feeding this group? His only concern was the monetary cost of the situation. And of course, that's not the only test or the only question asked by Jesus in this lesson, in this encounter. Because then we're told Andrew approaches. And Andrew, he's in verse 9, he's found a boy. And he tells Jesus, "There's a boy here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are those among so many people?" Maybe that'll feed a family. Maybe that'll feed a few people, a few friends. What is that? Again, Andrew's had a chance. He's had an opportunity to make a proclamation, to declare that something can happen from this food. Something can be done, can it? But instead, he falls back. He lets doubt get in his way. "This can't possibly be enough. I don't know what good it'll do. What are these scraps among so many people?" Philip, Andrew, probably the rest of the disciples, their vision, it was limited. What they saw before them seemed like an impossible task. Their seeing was misdirected, and as usual, they just didn't understand what was possible. What was it they didn't understand? Did they not understand the physics, the math behind dividing 5 loaves and 2 fish? Come on, we all do it with a pie. We got to cut it this many ways to make sure we have enough for everybody. A little bit bigger piece for me, a little bit smaller piece for the kids. They don't need that sugar. That's another story. Is that what they struggled with, the physical division of those goods? No, of course not. Not really. I think like the disciples did, like we often do, we often get caught up in the limitations. We get caught up in the how. How is that possible? We want to explain how it could happen. How is that something that could occur? But then we start to also make justifications. And I've heard it before. I've heard it preached in sermons. Well, maybe it wasn't really that those loaves and bread got divided. Maybe it was the boy brought his for it, and then other people admitted, "Oh, I have some food, and I have some food, and I have some food." And it was just a big chain of sharing that happened on that mountainside. I'm sorry, but no. That's not what we're told. That's not what we see happen in this. We want a reasonable explanation. We want to make it make sense. But that's not what God's asking us to know, what God's asking us to trust. It seems to diminish the real direction, the real miracle, the importance of what's contained in this story. Because at the heart of this story, it's about the who. It's not about the how. It's really about a couple of who's if we look at it. The first who, of course, as is always the case, the first who in this story was Jesus. Jesus was present. Where will we buy this bread? How will we buy this bread? From who can we buy this bread? Philip wanted to ask. Of course, the only right answer was from you, Lord. From Jesus. As is often the case, I've joked with it in many a youth group class, many a Sunday school class. If you don't know the answer to a question I ask, try Jesus. More often than not, the answer is Jesus. That was the answer to his question to Philip. From you, Lord, you can provide for their needs. You can make it possible. Similarly, as their boat was out on the water, as that storm was crashing in, and they see him walking across the water, what was the answer to their problem? It was again Jesus. And he said, "It is I. It is I that can solve this problem. It is I that will save you. It is I that will protect you. It is I that will provide for you. It is I. It is Jesus who can do all these things." Jesus was, of course, the first who in the story. But the second is just as important, or maybe equally important. The second who is us. It is all of us. It is them that was on that hillside, the disciples, the crowd to be sure. But it's about all of us that gather before the Lord. That's what John, I think, is trying to get across in his gospel here. The people in this story that are represented, the 5,000, the number that he used, it's all of us. We are all hungry for something that we cannot provide, that we cannot find for ourselves. We all come to Jesus seeking that which we cannot get on our own. And just like those on the mountainside, we have been invited to a meal. We too have been invited to this wonderful picnic. And as we come, Jesus says the same thing, I believe. Have the people sit down. Have the people take a seat. Because, you know, in the original text, the original translation, the word, the phrasing Jesus used here, it more closely means, and it's used in other places in the scripture, but it more closely means take a place at the table. Sit down to a meal. Sit down to dinner. We might translate what was written here as have the people pull up a chair, pull up to the table. Of course, they're on a mountainside. There was no table. But that is what Jesus is telling them to do. And as I thought about it this week, my friends, that's it. That is the gospel as it's shared with us. That is why this mountainside picnic is shared by all four of the gospel writers. The miracle that is seen is the invitation that took place. The recognition that all have been invited to the table. And no matter how big the crowd is, no matter how small the resources seem, no matter how many show up for the meal, there is more than enough provided, because we are guests at the Lord's table, guests invited to be a part of the miracle of the work the Lord is doing. And if that wasn't enough, of course that wasn't enough of a lesson for Jesus. He had more to teach, because it's what happened at the end of the picnic that really jumps out to. He instructed them to do what? Just leave the extra, leave it laying on the ground, the birds will get it. Is that what Jesus told them to do? Of course not. That's not what we read. There's another lesson here. He instructed them to gather up all that was left so that nothing was wasted, is that what it reads. This is another lesson, another opportunity for Jesus to teach. This is an example of the kingdom of God being built here on earth. Because in God's kingdom, in this new community, the one where there are no leftovers, no leftover food, and no leftover people, nothing is thrown aside. Nothing is wasted. We just heard about it in that video at the beginning of the service, didn't we? From the Society of St. Andrews. How much food could be wasted every year? How much food could go to waste? Well, we have thousands, millions of people who are hungry. That's their mission. Their mission comes from this story that we just read. To feed all, to use all that is available. Because we are all guests at the Lord's table. We're not afterthoughts. We're not nuisances. We are welcomed. We are invited. We are included at that meal. We are a part of the Lord's family. And that perhaps is the one last thing that stands out to me from this meal, from this picnic on the mountainside. At least it's noted in John's retelling of the events. Because first we had the miracle that it was. Then we have Jesus walking on the water. That's a miracle of itself. Then we're told there was the crowd waiting. Those people who are waiting to see Jesus, perhaps to get another slice of bread from Jesus. And if we were to keep reading beyond the text I read here this morning, we find that Jesus actually gets a little annoyed with some of those gathered in the crowd. They're waiting for him, but he thinks they've missed the point. He thinks they aren't quite understanding what he's teaching. But I think perhaps, maybe, through reading John's gospel, maybe John did get the point of what occurred. And I think we know so by how he described those events. And it was right at the end of our reading. It was in verse 23. Can we put that up there again? There was this phrase. This is what John noted. But some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. The people were hanging out at this place. Something special had occurred there. The miracle place. But that's not how John describes that place. How does John describe that place? He says it's the place where all had eaten, where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. That's his full description of it. It's not where an amazing thing happened. It's not where the unexplainable took place. It's where they ate after the Lord had given thanks. Think about it for a moment. That's what John wants us to remember. That's how John wraps up this entire miracle series. This is what he writes about it. It's the place where they ate after the Lord had given thanks. He wants us to remember that this miracle, this meal, it only happened after gratitude had been expressed, after thanks was given to God. Gratitude for the abundance that didn't look like abundance in that moment. Gratitude for the satisfaction that came out of those people's hunger. I think that John hopes that all who will read this text, all who will read about this encounter, all who will learn from this mountaintop experience, they'll learn that gratitude always is a part, is a way of seeing more when there isn't enough. Like Jesus, we give thanks to God for what we see, what we want to see happen. We give thanks for what we might not be able to do on our own. We give thanks knowing that when God steps in, the impossible is possible. These past few weeks have been our stewardship campaign, but they haven't just been about our stewardship campaign. It's been a part of it, but instead it's been looking at the spiritual discipline of gratitude, of expressing our thanks, our gratitude to God. Like all those other disciplines listed in the Bible, it's one we all need to continue to work on. None of us gets it perfect. None of us has the answer to it. We can live with gratitude in our hearts as we are grateful to God for all the blessings that have been provided to us, for the abundance that surrounds us. And when we give that gratitude, when we express that gratitude, it can't help but spill out of us and into the world around us. We are grateful for those in our circles of care, grateful for those who have provided and supported us through life's journeys. And I think if we were honest, if we were ever to try to sit down and make a list of all the people who have provided for us, who have cared for us, who have stood with us, we could probably never get to the end of that list. And I believe that's because we are truly woven together in a human tapestry of love and caring. Our efforts here in Romeo, Michigan, they have an effect that goes so much farther and wider than we could ever possibly know. And likewise, the efforts of individuals across our county, our country, our world, they affect us. They have an impact on our lives. And Jesus, I believe Jesus, as he looks at the crowds gathered before him, crowds around this world, further than the eye can see, further than we could ever hope to count, I can only imagine that a smile creases his lips as he sees that gathering of his disciples. And he tells us, take a seat, pull up a chair, let us eat together, let us live together, let us love together, let us be grateful together. That is Jesus' call to all of us. Thanksgiving may have passed again this year, but gratitude and thanks continues. Can we continue to give thanks in all things? We saw what was possible after Jesus gave thanks. Can we likewise be thankful? Can we likewise be generous? We may not know where it's leading, what will be possible, but all four gospel writers tell us what's possible when we put our trust and we put our thanks in the hands of the one who has given us so much. Let us dream about what God might do with our thanks. Let us imagine how we might reach out into this community, into this world, if we let gratitude flow out of our very beings. Let us do it all for the glory of God. All thanks be to God the Father, Jesus Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
So let's all stand, if you're able, for our last final song.
Come send your ruling rain in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives for your joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor of peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness reel. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the world on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fill. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fall. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Go now. Go giving thanks for all that God has done and all that God is doing in your life, in this community, and in the world. May we be surprised by grace as gratitude opens us to recognize God's abundant provision all around us. May we go with God's blessing now and forever. Amen.